Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? Or in the case of today, we're interviewing who? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and my guests today are the director and star of the new documentary, The Contestant. And as someone who considers themselves an aficionado of reality television and also generally aware of the history behind it, I had no idea what this was about. So director Claire Titley is telling the story of Nasubi. Nasubi was an aspiring comedian who, in 1998, signed up for a reality show called Denpa Shonen. He had no idea what he was going to get into. You know, there were no details. He just went to an audition and then he was carted away from this audition, sequestered in a box of a room with a pile of magazines. They took his clothing away and he had to fill out and mail in magazine contests in order to win food, clothing, prizes, all the necessities, and he had to reach this arbitrary goal of 1 million yen's worth of prizes. He had no idea this was being broadcast to basically all of Japan. So it's very Truman Show meets Naked and Afraid meets Extreme Couponers. Again, I had no idea. And keep in mind, this is happening in 1998. So Survivor and Big Brother weren't going to premiere for another 2 years. You know, the real world was out there. But this is such an extreme level of isolation, and then there's the voyeuristic element, and then there are just even so many twists and turns. So we do go into a few spoilers about it, but if you are familiar with the premise, which I've also just explained to you, you know, this will make sense, but I highly encourage you to watch this as soon as possible. The Contestant is out streaming now on Hulu, and just a heads up, you will hear the voice of Nasubi's translator. Every once in a while you'll hear him, but in order to have this whole interview in English, you will hear his lovely translator. So without further ado, here's we're interviewing who? Thank you all so much for being here. I was obsessed with this. I kept going, oh my God, what is happening here? I think my first question is actually for Claire. What would your emoji name be?
Oh my God, that's really hard. Do I need to be a vegetable or fruit?
No, it's completely up to you.
On a kind of a thing. The one that I use the most, you know, is always that one. You know, that's the kind of error message that I kind of endlessly use the most, probably. The one where you put your hand to your head, that's probably the, my most used emoji is probably what it is.
Facepalm is one I very much understand. So they're dark questions, but not just because this is such like a, I guess, traumatic experience. So what made you feel comfortable enough to revisit this story at this point in time?
Yes, of course, going back to the traumatic past, it was very hard, especially what goes inside myself. That really reminded me. There were many press, foreign press that came to me, radio, TV, magazines, and asking questions. And usually they ask, why didn't you sue? You know, why didn't you... So there was kind of a negative accusation type of press. But when Claire came, she told me that I want to show inside of you, you know, what really went inside of you. So I kind of felt like, this is something that I could trust and I want to be a part of.
Production-wise, did this go into production before or after the pandemic?
Oh, right in the middle, just to be a,
Yeah. So... I'm curious, like, did that, one, for Nasubi, how did that, you know, that sort of isolation experience that everyone is experiencing, you know, how did you relive that and how was it triggering for you? And Claire, did it give you a sort of, a slice of a firsthand look of what somewhat of the, what the Denpa Shonen, like, experience was like, or like a sympathy?
No, exactly. Well, I'll tell you about the production, but Nasubi's whole experience in Japan just at around COVID is really interesting, actually, because the whole of Japan kind of reconnected with him because of his story, because of his experience. But in terms of the production, we'd always had this plan that I would work with, was working with this Japanese-British producer, Megumi Inman, who... And we'd always had this plan for filming where she would be the person asking the questions and so forth, and I would just be a bit behind her. But it turned out that I ended up being quite a few miles behind her, and I was doing it remotely from the shed at the bottom of my garden. And she was in Japan because they weren't allowing any non-Japanese people into Japan at the time. So I actually she had to do 2 weeks of quarantine. So stuck in it was very meta. She was kind of stuck in a hotel room. And with, you know, literally no communication with the outside world apart from with me, because we would basically be on Zoom all night for me. I basically got myself on Japanese time for her quarantine as well, so we could talk about the project. People would deliver food outside her door and so forth. And then when she was released, I was properly on Japan time and did all the interviews and all the filming with her, but remotely. Literally, it was my head on a screen being carried around the set. But for Nasubi, it was, yeah, again, kind of quite a different, COVID was quite an experience for you.
To me, it was fine. It was why is everybody having such a hard time? I don't get it.
Can I just say one of the first things that, I don't know if they had it in the US, but in the UK and definitely in Japan, like when everyone was in lockdown, everyone went, you know, how we're all running out of toilet roll. How are we going to cope without toilet roll?
Oh, don't get me started on the panics for TP here.
Everybody in Japan was like, hang on a second, Nasubi live without toilet roll for how long?
僕は1年3ヶ月 toilet paper 使いませんでした。
Year and 3 months, I didn't use any toilet paper.
Good for you.
Like humans can survive.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the emotional isolation, because I like people, was the hardest part. So I can't imagine living in a box alone with being cut off.
Since I spent 1 year and 3 months in solitary, not being able to see anybody. So I really didn't understand, you know, first 3 months that you don't see anybody, you can do, you're not going to die. You know, that was my kind of attitude. So during the quarantine, you know, I had a clothing, I had a food. I get to see my family if I wanted to. So it was really nothing for me. But then there was a lot of people on SOS social media that saying like, it is so hard. But then they said, well, Nasubi did it, you know, for such a long time and she still survived. And then I ended up like encouraging people, you know, you're not going to die. You know, you can survive. I did it. I did it longer, you know, in a tougher situation. So many people has told me that that became encouragement, and they were very grateful for my advice to them.
A logistical question about the time in the box rooms. Did they replenish the magazines, or was it a limited supply? And it was just like whatever was there was there.
Yes.
Okay. That would have been very bad.
There's a period, you know, expiration day for the... Mm-hmm. So all those old magazine left, and then they restock.
That's your toilet paper right there.
But they took it away.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you all think this could even be made in this day and age, right? Because so many people are volunteering to put themselves online. Obviously, this is a precursor to it, but like, what does the evolution of this even look like? Should it ever be done?
What's quite unique about this, and what you were just touching on before, was the fact that while there's, you know, crazier in some ways, reality TV shows have kind of existed, nothing has been done with that much solitary confinement. Actually, when we were making the film, we were quite far along, and we were concerned about references to suicide and things. And we spoke to a charity called Samaritans who, and we spoke to them. We said, we're quite concerned. You know, we've mentioned suicide and various things. You know, are these triggering? Is this an issue? And they said, no. They said, one of the things that we think is potentially triggering, that's not what they said, but the issues of loneliness, they said, is one of the things that we think people will find the most affecting in a way. So I don't, and I might be wrong because I'm not a reality TV historian, but I think that's one of the unique things about this was A, the fact that he didn't know he was on television, and I don't know that that's happened since, but also the fact that he was totally on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else, you know, nothing else like it. I know it's always, we like to kind of think that, you know, this was in the past, and obviously we've learned a great deal since then, but I kind of wonder whether we really have. And interestingly, my producer, Andy Ryder, and I met with Suchia Before we started filming, the producer and we sort of said, you know, people are going to be quite critical and, you know, obviously prepare for this sort of backlash. And you know, could this be made, you know, could this be made again? And he sort of came back and said, well, you know, you might think it's cruel, but it's nothing like Love Island and the kind of shows that you make. And it was quite interesting, you know, the perspective that he had was kind of like, you know, why do you think that's any better? Or... So it's about perspective sometimes.
Even in the Tempo Shonen, the TV show the producer had, they put other people, other contestants to a same situation, but they didn't last. You know, either the doctor stopped them, they could not go on. But the producer thought because Nasubi did it, you know, maybe, you know, you'll be the second Nasubi, you know, they push and push. But they realized that human really cannot survive in that situation, in a limited confined situation. But because he did it, producer thought, you know, other people can do it. But at the end, even the producer, they realized it was because of Nasubi, because who he was the only survivor. So out of all those other people who followed, he ended up being the first and the last one who actually achieved until the gold.
Yeah, it was really awesome also to see your mental fortitude get to have like a really positive impact, obviously in Nepal and all the additional Fukushima stuff. So seeing that part of it, that was the most, oh my God, what is happening here moments for me. My last question, hopefully some of it a palate cleanser. What are both of your go-to celebration meals for any sort of accomplishments? Is it still KBBQ or has it completely shifted?
Oh, happy people, janai no de.
I'm not a party person.
No, with food. Like, what is the food that you eat when you're celebrating something special?
I don't really like hope so much things, but when I was asked, really, what I really want is rice and natto and miso soup. And when that was served, I felt like so much joy. It was the highest of, you know, the life.
It's the simple pleasures. Claire, do you have a celebration food?
Yeah, no, definitely. Whenever my family and I celebrate, we all go out for Nepalese food. So weirdly, that's the thing that we have like in common is that I live in Nepal. So I grew up in Nepal, in Kathmandu. And so when Nasubi and I first kind of met, actually, the first few words we had in common were in Nepali, not in Japanese or in English. So okay. So momos, dal bhat, maybe cheese balls. No, didn't mean to. That's my kind of go-to celebration is kind of like Nepalese food. Definitely.
Amazing. Thank you all so much. I loved this documentary so much. It was deeply disturbing, but so entertaining. A huge thank you to Claire and Nasubi. The contestant is out streaming now on Hulu. And if you like this episode, we would love it if you leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.